Before Brother Allen starts his portion of the service, is there any announcements that anybody would like to bring up at this time? Brother Allen has chosen this morning for his talk, Think on These Things. Think on These Things.
Thank you, Paul, and I want to thank the class for giving me this opportunity to give you these thoughts. I think you'll be able to use them both in your spiritual life and in your daily life. I know as I study them, I found them a big help to me, just even in my work. So I hope it'll be that way with you. What are the things we should be thinking about? What should be the right character of our thoughts? Today we want to explore some of these things, and we will use as our text scripture the Apostle Paul's final admonition to the Philippians church, recorded in Philippians 4:8, and I'm going to read that now from the King James Version. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Unless I state otherwise, I'm going to be using the Revised Standard Version, but that happened to be from the King James Version Scripture. And of course, I got a lot of help from the reprints and other Bible studies that you'll probably recognize as we go through this. But it all comes from our Heavenly Father, and I think given to us through the Holy Spirit. In this chapter, Paul is giving instructions to the church on how she should build herself up in the most holy faith. Preceding our text scripture, he gives the following thought in Philippians 4, verses 1 and verses 4 through 7, which we'll read. Philippians 4, verse 1 and then 4 through 7. Therefore, my brethren, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. And then 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then finally, our text scripture. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. During our study, we're going to look at various things we should think on. We'll look at the meaning of each of these and some scriptures that refer to them. And the things we're going to think about today are whether they be true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. There are certain rules of thinking, for as a man thinketh, so he will become. Several years ago, I worked with a man in charge of our data processing department. He had an easily understood phrase that he often used to explain the poor data that would come out if you put poor data in. And he would say the phrase, garbage in, garbage out. The manna for April 27th says, and I quote, "To have the mind of Christ is indeed the one requirement of lawful striving, a mind which humbly and faithfully submits itself to the will of God, as expressed in his great plan of the ages, and which devotes all energy to the accomplishment of his will, because of an intelligent appreciation of the ends he has in view. If so filled with the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, we, like him, will desire to be as free as possible from entangling earthly affairs and to have our time as free as possible for the Lord's service, and then to devote all energy, all ability, and all of our efforts to that service." We all know what the great influence the mind has over the body. The more we think of good things, the better we will be. And of course, just the opposite. The more we think on evil things, the more evil we will become. If a thing has none of the qualities in our text scripture, then we should not think on it at all. If we think on these on the things which have wisdom and depth, which come from God and God alone, then a wonderful change of character is effected. Let's read Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight, but keep them within your heart. For they are life to him who finds them, and healing to all flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the spring of life. Put away your crooked speech and your devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward, and your gaze be straight toward you. Take heed to the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Turn your foot away from evil. As verse 23 stated, out of the heart flows the springs of life. The heart is the governing power of man and represents his will and his intention. It must be kept true and centered in God. But the will is subject to many influences, and if our thoughts are impure, unjust, and unholy, this power of the will becomes weaker. To those who are striving to make their calling and election sure, their thoughts must not be permitted to dwell on evil things, but must be disciplined to dwell on the deeper things of the Word of God. The new heart is to be kept loyal to God, to the principles of righteousness, and to His covenant. Active in love and helpfulness, and the cultivation of thoughts in accord with the divine. Our Master's words, which are recorded in Matthew 18:18. Matthew 18:18. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The first thing that we want to think about is it true or is it false? This is the first consideration of any matter. Webster defines true as reliable, certain, in accordance with fact, agrees with reality, and most importantly, not false. We know that the Word of God is true and that He will be true to His Word. Some scriptures which speak to this truth are in 2 Samuel 7:28, 2 Samuel 7:28, I'm sorry. And now, O Lord God, Thou art God, and Thy words are true. And Thou hast promised this good thing to Thy servants. And then in Jeremiah 10:10, Jeremiah 10:10, But the Lord is the true God, and He is the living God and the everlasting King. At His wrath the earth quakes, and the nations cannot endure His indignation. And one more in Revelation 15, verses 3 and 4. Revelation 15, 3 and 4. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and wonderful are Thy deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are Thy ways, O King of the ages. Who shall not fear and glorify Thy name, O Lord? For Thou alone art holy. All nations shall come and worship Thee, for Thy judgments have been revealed. No person was truer than Jesus. He was the true Son, the true light, the true vine. His words was true, and He was a true and faithful witness. Love for the truth lies at the foundation of a righteous life. Whoever is in accord with falsehood or exaggeration is defiling himself. But whoever thinketh on these things that are true is to that extent purifying his character. We should not touch that which is untrue. As our Lord said in John 16:13, John 16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, it will guide you into all truth. For it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will declare to you the things that are to come. And always be reminded of Paul's admonition in 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who has no need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But the truth as of a thing is not the only test that we should put to a matter. Another one is it honest? There are many things that are true, but dishonorable and not worthy of our thought. Like you could say that someone robbed a bank, that might be the truth, but it sure wouldn't be honest. Honest means being trustworthy, truthful, showing fairness and sincerity. Remember when the apostle chose his 7 helpers, they chose men who were of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Another scripture speaking to honest is in 1 Peter 2:12. I'm going to read that in the King James Version. 1 Peter 2:12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. And from the April 4th manna, I'll quote, each one should see to it that he is honest, not only in matters of dollars and cents, but honest in his treatment of his neighbors, his treatment of the brethren, and above all in his confessions respecting his God and his faith. The test is being made along this line, and those who love the favor of man rather than the favor of God, and who dishonestly are willing to confess and profess a lie, will be giving up to their lie, will be permitted to blight their internal interest, will be proving themselves unfit for the kingdom, whatever else they may ultimately become fit for. We should dismiss all thoughts that are dishonorable and unworthy. This will leave us the opportunity and all of our energy to spend upon things that are honorable as well as true, things that are worthy of our attention as new creatures in Christ Jesus. We know that God is honorable and that he should be honored along with our own Redeemer. Things that are just. Here's another quality that we should look for. Justice should always be the rule of our lives. For Webster, just means lawful, right, fair, proper. It also means righteous, upright. We know that God and his Son Jesus were just by the following scriptures. In Isaiah 45:21, and this is from the King James Version, Isaiah 45:21, and there is no God beside me, a just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. And Jesus in John 5:30. I can do nothing on my own authority, as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Nothing could be more just than God's plan to give his dear son's life for the forfeit one of Adam, that all who desire might have life everlasting. That which is just is that which is right. Justice and righteousness are synonymous terms. The golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is a rule of justice. We have no right to expect more than justice. Whatever we receive more than justice is more love and more favor. A good thought on this is in the October 14th manna, and I quote, we are to grow in love, and love is the principal thing. But before we can make much development in the cultivation of love, we must learn to be just, right, or righteous. It is a proper presentation of the matter that is given in the proverb, that a man should be just before he is generous. It behooves the Lord's people, therefore, the new creation, that they study this subject continually, and daily put into practice the lessons inculcated in the divine word. Such as get this proper foundation of character before they begin to build love, will find that they are making progress properly. All love that is founded upon injustice or wrong ideas of righteousness is delusive. It is not the love which the Lord will require as a test of our discipleship. We are to learn to apply this test of justice to every thought and every word and every act of ours, while learning at the same time to view the conduct of others, so far as reason will permit, from the standpoint of mercy, pity, forgiveness, and helpfulness. We cannot be too careful how we criticize every thought we entertain, every plan we nature, that the lines of justice shall in no way be infringed by us with our heart's approval. And whatsoever things are pure, our next quality. To mean pure means free from anything that adulterates, free from defects, perfect, faultless, free from sin and guilt. Our thoughts should be pure, and such as will not excite others to impurity. We should avoid anything that, while not maybe impure in itself, might have the effect of arousing impurity in others. The heart that is corrupt expects and looks for corruption in others, but the pure heart avoids evil surmising. We are to love and cultivate that which is pure to such an extent that that which is impure will become painful to us, distressing, and we shall desire to drop it from memory. This will be accomplished only by continually thinking upon things that are pure. We are to recognize true loveliness and esteem it. When we would think of the purest of things, we must of necessity lift our mental vision to as high a point as possible, and as nearly as we may be able, desire the lovingness of character of our God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, and proportionately the loveliness manifested in one another of the followers of Jesus who walk closely in his footsteps. What does the Bible have to say about this quality? Let's read Psalms 12:6. Psalms 12:6. The promises of the Lord are promises that are pure. Silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. And in Zephaniah 3:9, and this is from the King James Version, Zephaniah 3:9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. And from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:8. Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And Titus 1:15. Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the corrupt and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Their very minds and consciences are corrupted. The last scripture attests to the fact that as a man thinketh, so he'll he become. Peter said that we can purify our lives by obedience to the truth and sincere love for the brethren. And now think on those things which are lovely. Calls to our attention the fact that we should not allow our minds to dwell upon things that are not lovely. We might permit our business to fill our thoughts, and that we would think continually about that particular thing. Constant thought on these things is not profitable to the new creature. We must always endeavor to bring our thoughts into subjection and train them along the lines that will transform us more and more into our Lord's glorious character likeness. In a dictionary, it defines lovely as beautiful, exquisite, morally or spiritually attractive. Notice that it says spiritually attractive. Having those qualities that inspire love, affection, or admiration. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our minds were only filled with lovely thoughts? This relates not only to thoughts of lovely things of nature, such as flowers, the animal creation, fruits, but also more to the things of character, such as the fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned in the Scriptures in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against which there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Aren't those lovely fruits, each one of them? Each one of them you can make a talk on. If we cultivate these in our hearts, we become more and more godlike. But if we don't, then we'll be developed works of the flesh and the devil. And there is no lovelier act than that of Mary's anointing our Lord's feet with costly oil and wiping them with her hair. Isn't that a beautiful thought? How lovely it can be. If things are of good report, they are reputable, well thought of, respectable, not substandard, but gracious, as used in the Revised Standard Version. And two references of good report are from the Bible. In Psalms 86:15 is the first one. But thou, O Lord, art a God, merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. So we can always count on God to be there with his love and faithfulness. And in Luke 4, 21 and 22. And he began to say to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all spoke well of him and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. That's using the word gracious. I thought I had the wrong scripture there, but the gracious words that appeared out of his mouth. So it was a good report. This thought means reputable. That which would be well thought of by reputable people are those of good repute. It would not mean that it was well spoken of by the world. We know that Jesus was of good report, but was reviled by the world, who said all manner of things against him falsely. And we are to be careful in our daily lives that the only thing we would suffer for would be that we are Christians. So our thoughts must be gracious, reputable, and of good report, if we are to be faithful and give our will to God. Throughout the gospel age, it has ever been true that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If there be any virtue, or as Webster defines it, excellence in general moral excellence, good quality, goodness of character, things that are of any degree noble words, noble deeds, noble sentiments of anyone, if we meditate on these, we will find ourselves growing toward those ideals upon which our minds, our new nature, will feed. There are some lovely scriptures on virtue, or excellence, and one of them is in 2 Peter 1, 3-7. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, or virtue, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, that through these you may escape from the corruption that is in the world because of passion, and become partakers of the divine nature. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-right control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. And I'm going to read 8. For these things are yours and abound. They keep you from being ineffective or untruthful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thinking on those things will keep you fruitful in the knowledge of God. The people of God who follow the instructions of the divine word become noble people, helpful people, and all possessed of the spirit of a sound mind. Ruth's virtue was well known by all people and by Boaz, so that he was pleased to make her his wife. And the last of our eight qualities that a saint should have to think on is praise. Praise is defined as a simple basic word implying an expression of approval, esteem, or commendation, or to laud the glory of God. And that last one, to laud the glory of God. We should not strive to obtain praise or even think about praising ourselves. We should think mostly about the praise of God. If there are things that have any value, any merit, anything worthy of praise, we should recognize them in those about us, but particularly in the church. The elements of character which are worthy of praise, we should not underestimate gentleness, faithfulness, or patience. Also take note of constancy, energy, and devotion to duty. Continue to recognize the commendable things in our own lives, and for sure in the lives of those about us. Can you imagine anything more sincere or enthusiastic praise than when the man who was lame from birth was healed by Peter? He entered a table in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. There are many scriptures that speak of praise, but we'll only look at a couple of them in Psalms. One of them is in Psalms 104. Psalms 104, 33 and 35. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I am being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise to the Lord. And Psalms 115, 17 and 18. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Yes, let us praise God, from whom all blessings flow. We will spend a little time today reviewing the qualities that things must have before we think about them. These qualities are that they must always be true, and in addition to being true, they must be honest. In addition to being true and honest, they must be just. In addition to being true, honest, and just, they must also be pure. In addition to these, they must be lovely. And they must be of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. As a man thinketh, so he is. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Every thought should be challenged because it affects our words, our conduct, and will extend to others we come in contact with. We should desire to have in our hearts and minds things that are positively good, beneficial, and helpful in some way. We can hardly overestimate the importance of right thinking because of the great influence of the mind over the body. Take pleasure in the cultivation of the fruits and graces of the Holy Spirit. Thus we shall become more and more transformed by the renewing of our minds, and approach nearer and nearer to the glorious likeness of our Master, being changed from glory to glory, inch by inch, step by step, little by little, during this present life. And our thoughts being in this attitude, and our union with the Lord maintained, we shall have part in the first resurrection, which will perfect us forever in the large image and likeness. And so, brethren, follow the Scriptures, and let's read 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10. Second Corinthians 6, 1 through 10. Working together with him, then we entreat you not to accept the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time I have listened to you and helped you on the day of salvation. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, through great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beating, imprisonment, tumults, labors, watching hunger, but by purity, knowledge, forbearance, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. And our text scripture, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. May the Lord have his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Alex. Excuse me. For a real wonderful talk, and brought out many things that if we can think on these things, it brings out the very character of our Lord and Savior. I ask Brother Allen to give a blessing on also the noon meal.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most precious name. We give thanks to you for this beautiful day and time we have had together to study a little more of thy word. And we pray that we may daily think on these things which are true and lovely and which are pleasing in thy sight, that we may be pleasing to thee and that we may be a blessing to our families, to our class, and to all of those around us, that we may shed forth thy light into this troubled world. Give us the strength and forgive us when we fall short. And we always pray for thy kingdom, that all mankind may be blessed and that they may live in one accord in peace and understanding and love with thee. We would ask your blessing upon this new meal, that it may strengthen our bodies so that we may be of better service to thee. We thank you for the food and the lovely hands that have prepared it, and pray that we may be always thankful and we may be always pleasing as we serve thee in our individual ways. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.